Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. Proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast? You sound very excited.
It's season 13. It's episode 40. 4-0. And we're in a double loss week. And back with us to celebrate loss. Are we not? Oh, no, we won. We drew. Sorry. A loss and a draw. Do you know what? It felt like a loss. So, sorry. I apologise.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, no. No. We'll come to that later. All right. Do you know what? We didn't lose. Anyway, a loss and a draw on the back of our double win. Anyway, with us tonight, Johnny, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home doing a podcast of views.
Could get the results right, couldn't I? Nigel, a.k.a. Shedman, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Shedman. Right, let's get it out of the way early. No question time tonight. It's my fault.
Who said that?
Well, are you going to do it on your own?
I might do.
You really?
Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Ask Nigel.
Okay.
Let's see what we get.
I'll leave it running. This could be hilarious.
Yes. No, I'll host. We'll end it and I'll start again.
Off and you can carry on talking to yourself. This could be a 4-hour podcast just on the second episode.
No.
It's not talking to yourself. It's like blogging, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose so. Anywho.
With interaction.
Anywho.
What about Len?
He's quite poorly.
Laid up sick, isn't he, Tom?
He's got COVID, I think. He's not been well for a few days, so
another
get well
bad
soon.
Strain going round.
Yeah, get well soon, Lenny boy. I don't know if I've just breached medical confidentiality by telling everyone he's got COVID, but he doesn't see anyone anyway, so probably doesn't matter. Anywho, two games to discuss. The first of them was a loss. In Freiburg, Germany, none of us went. Come on, let's get the misery out of the way. Everyone's going, who are you going to talk to first? John!
Hey!
Well, what did you think? There were some expert tactics at play at Freiburg. What was in David Moyes' mind when he set out his stall at Freiburg? It was a strong team, was it not, John?
I've got no idea Is it probably let's defend for as much as we can and try and nick a win?
I think that was... Who told you? Did he tell you that was his...
I don't know. I'll just guess that. I don't know. It felt a little bit like we felt that we've beaten them twice and we can do this without really too much effort. We didn't seem to have much of a spring in our step.
It was a strong team though, wasn't it?
It was a strong team, but we weren't at it.
No.
It just felt a little bit slow and a little bit relaxed and we paid the price for it. I remember Bowen scuffing a volley at some point and that's kind of it really, I think. Can't really remember much of an attacking threat from our end. And
well, that's fast forward 90 minutes to the controversial decision.
Well, what about Zuma being flat-footed when they crossed the ball in and he was just like
You just said nothing else to talk about. So I thought
from an attacking point of view.
From an attacking point of view.
They get the goal. I think Zuma's like just, I don't know what he was doing. He was sort of, ball just rolled in front of him and he let it go and poked it home, didn't he?
So you blame Zuma?
I do blame Zuma for that one, yeah. I don't like to blame individuals, but I think Zuma's showing that he's got his injury problems and he's becoming a bit of a liability, right?
Yeah, I won't disagree with you there. There you go. As you said, they left it all to the end. It looks like we were hanging on, but they scored on 81 minutes. And then came the VAR controversy.
Which was bizarre, wasn't it? It was just...
But I sort of get it now. I was sent something. Can I say this? After yesterday's incident, I was sent a message from... what are they called? PMGOL? Or is it the
PGMOL?
PGMOL, yeah. Pointing out the rules to me, not to blame VR on match officials, and pointing out a direct private message I was sent after that. You know who we're talking about, do you, Nigel?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Benny Boy.
Huh?
Benny Boy.
Yeah. So it's quite a strange one. But, you know, fair enough, you know, if he wants to point out.
Why don't he come in and talk then? Why don't someone
Why don't I ask him? Because I haven't talked to him for a while. So until yesterday's message, I thought, well, do you know what? Why don't I invite him on? If he wants to put the other side professional match association, I'll invite him on.
So I think referees get a lot of undue stick.
Yeah.
And abuse thrown at them. And I don't think it's warranted. But
I think VAR has made it worse for that because everyone sees it.
Here we go.
Well, you can see it. It's bizarre.
The German had his hands in the air when Thomas Suchek was standing behind him, right?
Yeah.
We all saw it. We've seen the replays. Little push in the back, perhaps, by from Suchek, but the referee... stuck with his initial decision of no penalty.
Which is unusual as well.
It took forever, didn't it? It was about 5 minutes.
But that's what I say. Look, it's bizarre. It's the length of time it took. And for him to then still... it was just a weird... I mean, the fact that it wasn't given doesn't surprise me. I thought it was probably... they ruled it out because of Suchek's push on the player.
David Moyes says, Suchek kicks it up into his arms. When two arms are above your head, it's always, nearly always given... because the arms are not in a natural position. Someone, he means match officials, trying to claim there was a push, but then play should have restarted. If that was the case, play should have restarted with a free kick, which he didn't do. If anything, technically, the player who went to clear it probably made a mess of his clearance. That should have been punished as well if he'd had kicked it onto his own arm.
Yeah. Well, the referee...
do you agree?
The referee might have interpreted the fact that the push was enough to warrant the fact that he miscontrolled with his arms to touch the ball, but not necessarily enough for a foul.
I didn't think of that before, that actually it should have been a free kick if it was a push then.
I mean, if it was given against us, I wouldn't have been surprised, but I would have been disappointed. And I don't think it really was a penalty, but, you know, I wouldn't. Again, they do get given. But it's just a case of we've put on a subpar performance against a team that we've beaten twice before in Europe and they're not in a good run of form themselves and they look actually better on the night than we did and we all seem to be clutching at the penalty straw, you know,
We didn't probably deserve to win. Let me give a stat attack, and then Nigel can take over the reins. Freiburg had 58% possession to West Ham's 42. Freiburg had 15 shots, 4 on target. Do you know how many West Ham had?
No.
15 shots and 4 on target. So exactly the same number of shots, exactly the same amount on target. Both sides had 4 corners as well. 6 fouls to Freiburg, 9 to West Ham. Dirty West Ham. Discuss, Nigel.
Where do I start? I mean, the game itself passed me by because I'd had a few bad nights of sleep and I got home and fell asleep watching it. And I was woken up by cheering, and that was Freiburg had scored.
Mm.
So I then sat and watched the replay of Freiburg's game, goal, and like John, blame game or not, you know, Zuma very flat-footed there. Ball watching from a defender of his ability and his and the standard that he's played to is shockingly poor. To ball watch in that situation whatsoever. You know, this man, he's played for France internationally, let alone, you know, spent his career in the top echelons of the Premier League. So you don't expect that from someone like that with that experience. And the captain as well should be leading from the front. Mm-hmm. So that was poor from him. And then I suppose we see Paquetá subbed for Antonio, which obviously looks too little too late.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I suppose it is only the first half of the game, and maybe he wanted to keep certain players fresh or whatever.
Paquetá did look like he was blowing though, didn't he? Quite early on.
I see what people say about Paquetá, that he didn't, you know, from about 60, 70 minutes, he was, you know, blowing, I think is the word a lot of people used. So then there's, so that was the decision. And then we get into the penalty, which there's various reasons why I don't think it's a penalty. And I get the reasoning, or, you know, worse have been given. And the way I see it is just because worse have been given, don't mean we should then start arguing that should be given. The rules of football keep changing. The rules of football ain't even set up by FIFA or UEFA or whatever. They're set up by an organisation called the IFAB. And it turns out the head of that, I believe, is David Ellery. And if that is the case, then we can see why we're in this mess. Because Ellery was one of the worst referees going. And now we've put him in charge. And it looks like to me the IFAB keep changing rules just to justify their position, as they are the guardians and lawmakers of the game.
Internationally, though, so this is UEFA and FIFA follow these rules, yeah. Is my understanding.
Yes, yeah. That IFAB are the lawmakers of football. The British Isles has a permanent seat on the committee. So I believe that's shared around between the four nations of the British Isles, England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. But as we are seen as the founding fathers of organised football, we get a permanent seat on that committee. But that, you know, that's where we are with it. So, but the you know, in the old day, you know, it's easy for us who remember the old days to go, well, that was never a penalty. I don't ever remember things like that happening. I don't like this unnatural position.
What is a rule that they didn't break? What saved?
Well, I don't.
Quote
the funny
a rule.
Thing is, yeah, I don't buy. It looks to me like they're hiding behind the push by Souček. So Souček's pushed him. And when you push from behind, your hands may go up or whatever. I think the bloke was jumping to chest the ball. Now, when you jump in those situations, you will jump with your arms up. Yeah, because you're trying to levitate yourself. That's the thing that happens. what is an unnatural position in football? I'll tell you what's an unnatural position in football. Defenders tucking both their arms behind their backs when they're trying to block a shot. That's unnatural. But that now is deemed natural because if you're trying to block and your arm goes out and the ball hits your hand, it's a penalty. If it deflects off of something and it hits your hand and your hand's out, it's a penalty. Suchet kicked the ball's going up in the air and it hits the bloke's arm. And what is there? A foot between Suchet kicking the ball and the bloke's arm? 2 feet? The fact that the bloke was running away from the goal, Suchet was trying to knock it in the air. It'd be better if they brought back the indirect free kick.
So I sort of get what you're saying, but you haven't given an actual reason, you know?
No, I have. I believe they've cancelled it because of the push on Suchet.
Ah, right. So you think it's because of the push? So
that's why I think they called it off.
Okay,
yeah.
So if that's the case, why didn't they give a free kick?
Well, because what probably happened is he didn't spot the foul until after the situation had occurred. So how did they restart the game?
I think it was a goal kick, wasn't it?
Right. Well, what's the difference then?
Well, it's a principle of the matter.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because it's still a kick from the penalty area.
No, it's a principle.
So you're arguing about, well, would they kick the ball further back 5 yards than what the foul was?
Yeah. Which sort of says...
It says is the referee...
Well,
the
do you
referee...
know what? I think they should release... I think... As a matter of course,
I don't care, Sean.
They should
cares?
Release the audio of every single VAR.
Honestly, there's so many of them. Who cares? Honest.
John. I think there is a reasoning because I think we should hear more of them to understanding as fans.
No, when I say who cares, it's at our level. They don't care. If that's Liverpool, everyone wants to hear it. If it's Man United, everyone wants to hear it.
I don't know. I think,
but we never get that one. Care. Well, we care, but no, they're not going to bother getting it and giving it to us. They will give it to Liverpool, they will give it to Man United, and they'll give it to City or whatever.
Well, look, the big talking point this weekend, you know, when we get to it, has all been about Liverpool's VAR. No mention of ours at all.
No.
So,
absolutely.
You know, I know
it didn't
even go to
VAR.
Yeah. I'm going to go the opposite and say I actually make the one over the weekend right. But so maybe we should move on to that. Anything more to say about our loss in Germany?
Well, you know,
they did quite well, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they set out their stall, right, to stop us playing their game and they succeeded. Come on. This is the best scenario they could have hoped for to be, you know, they weren't going to be 4 or 5 nil up. Being 1 nil up. Ball to play for back in London, you know.
Yeah.
Well done, Freiburg.
A better team than Freiburg were in this situation against West Ham in exactly the same tournament and exactly the same round of the cup, and that team got knocked out by West Ham. And that team hadn't been knocked out of Europe before the quarterfinals in 6 or 7 years. So, and this is a better West Ham team, we're told, than we had 2 years ago. So.
And they got the momentum going into it. Oh, no, no.
Well, you know, we'll see.
We'll see.
I will argue, actually, possibly we have got some momentum going into it. But that's when we talk about...
In the second half.
The second half.
Let's talk about it. So, you know, Burnley...
Of course you will.
My stepdad said, 4-0 win. And people last week were talking 3-0. I said 1-0. I forget who said 3-0 last week. Was it you, John?
What's that?
It's a 3-0 last week on the podcast.
What?
Against Burnley, to win Burnley.
2-1, I said.
Who said 3-0?
I don't know.
I'm guessing since it was me on the podcast as well.
Yeah, so it must be you. You said 3-0.
Probably.
Bottom of the division. Haven't scored away. And of course, and they go 2-0 up. I mean, let's start with you, John, again. What went wrong? It seemed a strong team. On paper, Philip starting. He had dropped Alvarez to the bench and he dropped Zuma as well.
Well, having played most of that team on Thursday night for 90 minutes, I would have thought, right, hold on a minute, we're playing against the bottom of the table here. Let's change it up and let's just go for them. why not go for him? So I would have given Antonio a run out. I would have tried to set up in some kind of way where I could have had Antonio and Ings on the pitch with Paquetar in the middle and then take him off after an hour or whatever and try and go for him from the start. I wouldn't have gone with a midfield of Phillips, Souček and James Ward-Prowse. There's nothing there to suggest any kind of attacking Ward-Prowse there. So I just think it was poor start, slow start again, and probably a bit of a hangover from the Thursday night game. And
yeah,
they
were singing. I'm sure you heard it because you were there. They were singing, "How shit are you? How much shit must you be? We're winning away." I think it was their first time they've been winning away all season, isn't it?
I think Phillips is starting to look like probably one of the worst loan signings we've ever made.
I'm afraid he is, yeah.
I mean, he just stood by and let that bloke Fofana do him, and he hands up. He did the old hands up in the air, got out of the way. And yeah, it wasn't good, was it? It was rubbish.
The second goal was cracking, though. Was it the first goal? Which goal of theirs? The first goal was cracking.
The second goal was an own goal, wasn't it?
It was an own goal, you're right. It was the first goal that was a cracker.
Yeah, it was, but he sort of run past Ward-Prowse and Phillips as if they weren't there.
So pretty much everything that could go wrong went wrong in that first half. And I'm sure a lot of people wrote us off. Talk to us about the second half, John, before I go to Nigel.
Well, it was chalk and cheese, wasn't it? It was completely different.
I was walking down the steps. It happened so fast. I was actually walking down the steps as the goal went on.
I don't know.
I think a lot of people missed it, to be honest. We don't usually come out that fast.
Yeah, well, the introduction of Alvarez and the impact that he had is, again, another reason why it's showing that Phillips is such a poor signing, because we just don't need him. So, he made a big positive impact. Obviously, Paquetar got his goal.
I mean, I don't know how it looked at home, John, but I tell you what, the first half dragged and dragged and dragged, but that second half, it was non-stop, all West Ham, and how we didn't win it in the end. Well, the post stopped us and everything else, but, you know, they say a game of two halves. That's what they were talking about. They say a game of two halves.
Yeah,
because, you know, we looked brilliant. You know, if we could play like that against Freiburg last game or this game coming on Thursday, so what is it? What is it? You are saying that maybe it was Alvarez that made a difference.
Yeah, no,
talk about Ings and Antonio making a difference as well in a minute.
I do think that the midfield pairings of a Souček, Phillips, Ward-Prowse midfield is just too negative all round to really actually be put in place. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know why it is we weren't very good. We were slow. And I think maybe they all, for their own pride in a rocket up the arse at half-time, came out.
Well, Paquetar came out. Absolutely. I mean, I forget who did the assist for Paquetar. Do you remember who it was?
No, I can't. I think he won the ball, didn't he? He nicked it.
And just when you think, you know, excitement, we had so many chances, and then Ings gets it in just before half-time, and it's ruled off.
I mean, that's the closest, one of those closest offsides of the old Lions.
Yeah, draw. Well, again, you know, a lot of people don't know, I didn't know, I must admit, about, you know, the rules keep on changing, the arms and everything. And what is it? Is it the shoulders? Is it the body? I mean, I've seen so many people draw lines.
It's not the shoulder. If you're wearing a short-sleeved shirt, it should be there. So basically, if you imagine if the ball hits you, if you've got a short-sleeved shirt
any part you're playing... So what I'm told is any part that you play football with.
Well,
so your head...
So basically, if it hits you on the arm between the elbow and the short sleeve shirt, technically that's handball.
Yeah.
If it hits you above the short sleeve shirt, they deem that as part of the shoulder.
Yeah.
And therefore that is legal.
So your head, your legs.
That's where they draw the line for. Because you know, I mean, you can't really tell where they're drawing the lines from. They just put the lines out, and that's it.
If you draw it like that, a lot of people disagree. But if you draw it like that, at the angle, you can just see Antonio's a smidge.
Oh, it was the tightest offsides, and it was a good assist, and it was a good finish, and
look at the confidence it gave him, because he scored another one a few minutes later.
Yeah, but what I thought was interesting, at one point when he hit the bar, that was a volley, wasn't it? He hit the bar with a volley.
Well, yeah, you're right. So he scored one, got disallowed, scored another one, and then hit the bar.
The ball comes out to him. He hits the bar with his volley. The ball comes back out to Antonio hits the top of the stand with his volley. And you're like...
but I thought Antonio played quite well. He was holding up the ball well. He was making a lot of... You know, he's using his muscle. And him and Ings played quite well, I thought. At one point, you know, when Ings... Bowen, you know, three strikers, if you call Bowen a striker. And Antonio all on the pitch. It's a brave move by Moyes at that time.
Brave, yeah. Brave. But, like I said at the beginning, you know, the Europa League is our last chance of any real success this season. So,
you know, I agree.
Why not? You're playing the bottom of the league, the bottom of the table. You haven't done this and done that and do that.
So,
give these players a run out and save your best for Thursday.
Stat attack. West Ham had 52% possession at the London Stadium, with Burnley obviously having 48. West Ham had 22 shots, 4 on target. Burnley had 11 shots, but also 4 on target. They both had 4 corners apiece. West Ham fouled 11 times. Burnley fouled 18 times. Dirty Burnley. The amount of time wasting. There was a talk on Talk TV today about the amount of time wasting and why don't referees. I mean, that goalkeeper, everything, you know, every
from
time
the
one
first
of their players
half.
Went down injured in that first half when they were 2-0 up, you know, they were rolling around like they'd been shot with a bullet. Every time the goalkeeper probably wasted 4 minutes on his own, the amount of time. It's all part of their tactics. And I think, you know, the referee should stamp it out. What happened to this old thing when you make a substitution, you have to go off to the nearest line? They don't do that anymore. Burnley was trudging slowly across the pitch to come off. It's just tactics, time-wasting tactics. Anyway, Nigel, you get your say now. You were there, I know. I saw you.
Yeah.
Lovely rainy day. I tell you what, got first game this season that it was that fine rain that sort of blows in. So I got a little bit wet in the stands. Did it reach you?
Nope.
It was a bit quiet up your end because Burnley hadn't brought anyone into the upper, had they?
I don't think I've ever seen a Premier League team not have fans upstairs.
I know. I did think that was a bit strange.
Not only that is, they hadn't sold out downstairs either.
No, I saw that. It was a bit...
They probably had
still noisier than us, though, weren't they? We were a little bit quiet.
In the first half, they had a lot to be noisy about.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
The first half for me, I actually thought we played worse against Burnley than we did against Arsenal in the first half.
Yeah, we just can get going. Clearly,
I mean, there was one point where I'm looking at Phillips and he's standing next to Mavropanos. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing there? You know, that's how deep he was. And I don't know if he was, you know, trying to pick the ball up and to I don't know, create... To feed into midfield, but he's got to be further forward than that. I think I don't know if the you know, the press are now writing stories about him, how it's not working. So it's got to be feeding into him and feeding into his head now. And I feel that's unfortunate because he is a good player. I think I can see why we signed him, because I think when you say, you know, we need players, even if he's on the bench, we need to have players of his ability on the bench. He is a good player. He's an international player. You know, and he didn't go to Man City for nothing, for his ability. And we didn't bid 50 million for him on a napkin for nothing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So, I wouldn't want to pay 50 million for him now. In fact, he looks a 20 million player to me. But that said, half time he goes.
Yeah. And it made a difference.
Yeah. Look. People criticise Moyes for many things. One of them is the way he does his substitutions. he's proactive in his substitutions rather than reactive. In that he knew he had 45 minutes to rescue it. It was weird because actually walking out, I felt disappointed we didn't win. I thought we'd done enough to win it. Though Burnley at the end had a few half chances and we were grateful to Areola again at the end that we didn't lose the game 3-2.
Yeah, it was a good save.
While we was huffing and puffing for the winner. But great play by Pakatar to nick the ball, run through, finish it off. And that's what you want, isn't it? You want to see that reaction straight away at the second half. So we were there. And then we huffed and puffed, didn't we? But we couldn't blow the ass down. What did he bring Ings on? With about 20 minutes to go? And then, funny enough, if you look back at the last time Ings played, it was the Sheffield United game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
but he's a confidence player, isn't he? You could see
but his confidence was, right. Must have been knocked because he has his best game at West Ham against Sheffield and we hardly see him.
Yeah, so you're right. Alvarez replaced Phillips on half-time, as did Antonio replace Ward-Prowse. Yeah. I mean, no one talked about Ward-Prowse. It was 82 that Ings replaced Agüero, which was a funny substitution. Everyone was going, "What, you bringing Ings back as a defender?"
He didn't need a defender, did he? I think Alvarez dropped deeper. Alvarez can play centre half.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Alvarez dropped deeper, and it was weird trying to work out.
I couldn't work out what the position. Where the formation was.
So
is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, I couldn't. We were looking, thinking, "What does this make?" You know, Bowen's out wide right. Where was Kudus then?
Yeah.
At wide left. It almost like it reverted to a 4-4-2, but with proper wingers, with Bowen on the wide right and Kudus wide left.
It worked though, didn't it? I mean, if I was him, I would start with that second. I mean, I don't know if he will. I'd start with that second half team.
He ain't gonna, is
he? I know, but wouldn't that be amazing? If he started with the second half team and say, "I want to reward you for what you did, right? I'm going to start Alvarez, I'm going to start Bowen, I'm going to start, I'm going to start Antonio and Ings together."
I mean, who would have thought having more attacking players on the pitch, you'd score goals?
I know. Who'd have thought?
And look more, and look more threatening.
Yeah. Who would have thought it?
This is Burnley, though. I mean, would have been a bittersweet. If that goal that hit, the shot that hit the crossbar had gone in, what a bittersweet it would have been an amazing finish. A great win.
Yeah, I'm to pleat with Ings because Ings has only got two goals, isn't it?
After all that work.
Yeah,
you know,
got two goals and both of them were in the same game, I believe.
But we've always said, haven't we, on here pretty much, that Ings is a decent player. He's just not suited to our team the way he always plays.
But you could argue he is when we set out like that second half, John.
Well, yeah, but Moyes doesn't play like that very often.
Maybe
that's a wake-up call to him.
Well, the whole end of this season should be this wake-up call, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm with you, John, in what you said about Thursday night. I mean, I've done let's get the save, if they ever want to sell tickets for a game, crack out to save our season, Wolves of 2010, Wigan of 2011, save our season.
Have you bought your tickets for Thursday night?
Yes.
Couldn't get a single ticket down where my thing is when
bought
it.
No,
they've sold out.
No, the funny thing is, I've discovered, my row of seats, all available. What though?
I know. I'm
Sean, I couldn't buy one.
All right.
Wouldn't let me buy a single.
No, it doesn't let you buy.
So I've had to buy a single seat in the row in front.
Well, I'm in your block. Finley and myself are in row 59, rows in front.
I look forward to seeing you up there then.
Yeah, I'm sure I will be.
Yeah.
Some point. Unless I get lost, Nigel.
Yeah.
I could get lost. We get
surely
lost
you wouldn't do that,
Finley,
though.
Finley's sitting with me here. We get lost sometimes, going up that
high. Only the other week, people were complaining about people from upstairs walking
down
there.
Yeah, no, but sometimes we get lost, don't we, Finley? We get lost. It's sometimes,
people
will
tell you that often, Sean, but you don't seem to listen.
They tell me to get lost, Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, it's amazing that they've sold so many tickets. Let's see how many people turn up, but...
I'm coming back. I'm traveling to Ireland.
I'm coming back. I've got a special plane to go to bloody Luton just to get back for this game.
40,000.
There's a lot of back rows. There's a lot of seats when I looked
yesterday. There's a lot of tickets still for sale.
Oh, there is at the back row. You're right. I saw them yesterday. I only bought tickets.
I tried to buy on the Bobby Moore lower.
Did you?
For one reason and one reason only.
Go on.
Well, obviously, that's where that Ironworks Alliance were open. And if
have they replied to you yet from yesterday?
No.
I did ask them, talking about Ironworks. I messaged them and I said, tell me about yourself. And they did the normal spiel, really know. I said, well, who are the founders? And they said, well, why do you want to know? I said, because I'm interested in who the founders are. And they said, well, they asked me, is it a question of trust? Is it a question of credibility? I don't know why they're being secretive of who they are.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a new group, because you like groups and committees, John, I've always loved a group and committee called the People's Front of Judea.
That's the one.
The right one. You can't say what you said.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little bit of oops. Everyone goes a quiet bit.
Or the Judean People's Front. It depends what.
The Popular Front, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's Ironworks Alliance, John, this new shadowy, who want to sort of bring the ultras back, don't they, and flags? And
this is the thing. You've been a bit disingenuous.
I know,
there,
I
Sean.
Am. I'm being a bit naughty.
Basically... the atmosphere in the stadium is shit. Yeah? I'm sure we all agree, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, not always in my area, but sometimes.
No, but it is, Sean. Even down where you are.
Yeah,
it
has been lately, would agree.
Even where you are.
We've had some great times, but you're right. Lately, we haven't had a lot to sing about.
Listen, we've been in that stadium 6-7 years, and if you can count the great games on two hands, you've done bloody well.
I would agree with you. The great games, the great atmosphere, you can count on two hands.
On two hands, right. So... They want a group together, people that would be happy to chant and sing most of the game, no matter what's happening on the pitch, and support the team. And they want a group. They want to be grouped together. Probably on the Bobby Moore lower would be their preference. Though I would argue the club could probably easily clear next to the away fans and get one, put them there. They don't want to wear black. They don't want to bang a drum. They don't want to wave flags. They just want to be a group of fans that are like-minded. So they've been bundling about on Twitter for a while. I've engaged with them a few times. Laughed at them maybe a couple of times, you know, when I thought, oh, here we go, it's another lot of bleeding Nigels that want to, you know, be like Palace.
You've been rejected to join them, haven't you?
Well, and this is the thing, so, but I think after the Bournemouth game, and how dreadful and dreary it was, and then...
They've been going 2 years, by the way. They wrote to me, Ironworks Alliance, hello, thanks for reaching out. The private message, but nothing private about it. Ironworks Alliance was founded in 2022 following our Europa League campaign. We were inspired by the atmospheres we'd witnessed abroad and wanted to come together to find ways to improve our own atmosphere at the London Stadium without losing or replacing the West Ham culture. Ironworks Alliance was founded by passionate West Ham fans and continues to be run by the fans. In the second half of 2023, we opened our group to new members, which has led to our own numbers increasing significantly. Not you, Nigel. Simply put, we're a not-for-profit atmosphere group. As fans, we want to get behind the players and the manager. With the club currently run on an upward trajectory, we need an atmosphere to match these ambitions to help push West Ham to new heights on and off the pitch. An overarching objective to improve the atmosphere and consequently the match day experience in the London Stadium. We aim to achieve this objective by supporting the implementation of several initiatives. Example include safe standing, a dedicated vocal singing section, visual displays before the game. Along the way, we hope we can become a voice for the fans. We want to bring more colour, more noise and enhance fan culture to our fan base, which we feel has recently become somewhat diluted since the move to London Stadium. We understand these initiatives are not going to happen overnight. We're in the process of becoming an associate member of the FSA, you and I know, anyone could join that, and have been liaising with the Premier League network manager as we look to move forward on our journey. We're in regular contact with some of West Ham's recognised supporters groups, and we aim to bring our ideas to the ISC so they can be considered. To differentiate our group from what some might describe as ultras, we've created a list of principles confirming we're against what they stand for. These principles can be found on our website.
John, you're fucking bored everyone. Sean, sorry. You've bored everyone now.
All right. Well, all right. I'll stop there. But then I said, thanks for that, but who are the founders? And they're saying, happy to stay. Would you mind if we asked you first, what's the reason for knowing no specific names? Is it an issue of trust or perhaps to be able to help us? Yeah. I'm going back to them. You invited them on this podcast, though, didn't you?
I invited them. I said, let's do a show of the podcast. Because in a day, look, something's got to happen. And then I thought, well, do you know what? I thought that there was a game where I think a crowd of them over there started singing and getting behind the team. I think it was the Bournemouth game. It might have been the Arsenal game, actually, in the second half when everyone had gone home. And I thought, you know what? If that's them and that's the thing, fair, actually, you know, something's got to be done. So, and I've come to the point now, well, if they're willing to do something, let's give them a go. They then put out, they wanted members. You fill a form in. I filled the form in. Yep. I'm a West Ham fan. 3 minutes after filling the form in, they're private messaging me, why do you want to join us? You know, I didn't think I was joining the Masons.
Yeah, well, I had a similar thing when I tried to join the Hammers.
But everyone's suspicious of you. I thought I was joining a West Ham United fan group that's on the FSA. And I thought to be a member of the FSA and to be on the ISC, you have to have elections and you have to be public and we have to know who you are. So what I'd say to Ironworks Alliance, you obviously hear things, because the fact that you questioned me why I wanted to join, you'd obviously heard what I said about you, is what you got to hide? You know, how can you reject my membership? You've not replied to me. Well, I left it 2 weeks and I asked you again. You've not replied to me now. So now you've ignored me again. You know, we'll talk about it here. No such thing as bad publicity.
Come on, you don't even have to give your names. If you're worried about that, just come and talk, right? But we don't need to know your names.
I offered a handout to help them. And when people slap me in the face, once, all right, but twice, nah. Then I become an enemy. And I'll do whatever I can to make you look a laughing stock. So you've got a choice now.
There you go.
So they can either let me help them or I fight against them. And it's as simple as that. Because there's a lot of people there who think they're a joke.
Mm-hmm.
So I could easily side with them. And if they start, and if that's the way they behave, I mean, let's get this right, if I'm a Lions, if you're listening, I didn't know Sean had messaged her. Sean didn't know I'd offered to join.
No, I didn't know.
So we hadn't worked together on this. We're not a tag team. We do everything off our own backs.
Yeah.
So you've, that's two people there. So how about getting a spine and manning up and face the standing?
Yeah. There you go. I think.
Well, I knew nothing about it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's a member. He's going to go. John's going to go.
And
yeah,
this is the
way,
thing, John. I offered a name to help them.
It's
to,
John. John founded Ironworks Alliance.
They're just, all they are at the moment is just a Twitter organisation.
Yeah.
And I was hoping to be able to help them get past that.
It's probably it's a good,
right, there you go. Stay on Twitter then.
The intention and the idea is a good idea.
It's hard to get going, you know. Anywho. I think we've done both matches. I've got four news stories. The first one is an update on Emerson, which John kept on asking me. Done his ACL. He's out for 9 months. That was a fake Twitter from pretending to be from ex-West Ham employee. He published a picture today of him getting oxygen therapy, which a lot of...
Ooh, ex. Well, not bad, was it?
No, no, no. Emerson did. Emerson published a picture of himself having... X is not very well. I spoke to him earlier. He had a little knock at the Everton game and he's been suffering from concussion. So, he didn't go to the game yesterday. I'm probably not supposed to say that either. But anyway.
No one knows what he looks like anyway. He's an international man of mystery, isn't he?
So, Emerson, senior source, I actually spoke to X about this. So, he got the exclusive on this, although... I see Huey's run the same exclusive, so you can pretty much guess where this senior source is. The same quote is 7 to 14. He's got a groin problem. 17 to 14 days before he's back, but he says there's an outside chance he'll be fit for Thursday. So not a serious problem. A week to 2 weeks, but then an outside chance. Miracles are having that oxygen that he's available on Thursday for the game. Second story is Alan Nixon, who writes for The Sun and has his own patron, said this week, and people grabbed this and ran with it, that David Moyes Jr. is going to join West Ham as a scout. And I went, well, I thought he already was. And there was a story in 2021 by the Daily Mail that David Moyes Jr. left as an agent, Wasserman, I think it's called, and joined the scouting team in 2021, some 3 years ago. And I checked with the club, and they agreed, and they said, yeah, he did. He joined 3 years ago. So, Alan, I don't know what you're on about, but, you know, he joined 3 years ago. I think Alan and David Moyes are friends, but, and obviously, Steiden is taking a more role in scouting, but I checked with the club today. David Moyes Jr. has been there the last 3 years. He's staying there. And I don't know if you saw, but and I published some pictures. Steiden and Moyes were out there again for warm-up for 20 minutes, chatting, very intense conversation. And finally, we found out what Steiden does. He holds an umbrella for David Moyes. He was keeping him dry. Did you see that?
No.
From your seat,
I need the picture you sent.
Yeah. So they were out there. Anyway, so that's the Emerson and David Moyes. The next story is I went, Paolo Di Canio was doing one of his events in Bournemouth and Harry turned up because he lives around the road in South and Sandbanks.
I don't know if he's still on Sandbanks.
Is he? I don't know. I thought he was, but I think he still lives in Bournemouth. Anyway, he turned up. First time Paolo had seen him, very emotional, blah, blah, blah. And I had DJ Leon was there and sent me some videos and sent me some pictures. It was his Christmas present. He was in one of VIPs. And I thought, oh, yeah, great. Anyway, my cousin Gary, who John and myself went to football with when we were teenagers.
I've met Gary, haven't I?
You've met Gary, yeah. So used when we were teenagers.
Years ago.
Me, nice Gary, and John used to go to the South Bank in the 80s. And he lives close to me, and he said, oh, I've got a spare ticket. My son is now playing for Bagshot Combined Counties, and he's got a game tonight, so he can't go. So I've got a spare. Do you want to come and see Paolo Di Canio in Staines? Staines, of all places. Bournemouth and Staines. Real West Ham grounds. But anyway, I said, yeah, I'll come there. And I went along. £40 a ticket, £65 for VIPs with a picture of Paolo. About 400 people there, including some people you know, Nigel.
There's quite a few people I know.
There was a lot of money making, you know. The auction all went to the organisers. There was memorabilia on sale. There was an auction that took a few grand. The food was like £7 a burger, £7 a pint, you know, the whole thing. I hear he charges about £25,000 an appearance, does Paolo Di Canio. You know, most of the money, I think, the ticket money goes to Paolo Di Canio. So, good, you know, fair play to him. What he did reveal is he'd love to manage West Ham one day or be involved in West Ham in some way. He won't be a match day ambassador because I think they pay about £450. He won't get his £25,000 there. And that he hopes he's got a deal with Sky Italia. And the deal is that if a club comes into him in any kind of coaching or management capacity, he can give 3 days' notice and start with a club. But, so he talked about, you know, West Ham. He told all the old stories that you would expect to hear and, you know, we've all heard a million times before. But the one thing I did hear before I went, actually, from a very good source who I won't name, is young Paolo Di Canio offered his services to David Sullivan as an attacking coach. And last October, interestingly enough. Now, it doesn't appear that was taken up, does it? Because otherwise he would have been working for West Ham. Look, I don't know. He hasn't been in the coaching or management game for some time. But he did say during the talk to us that he recently went to Rush Green. He spent 90 minutes with David Moyes and that his football philosophy and David Moyes were very much aligned and he sort of protected. Well, that's what he said. I'm just repeating what he said. I've probably even got a video of it. He said, our football philosophies. He said, I know a lot of you don't like his football. It's boring and everything. You know what Paolo is. He said, but his philosophy is very aligned to mine.
Very He's Italian, isn't it?
Yeah. Would you, Salia, here's a question before I talk about my last news story. Would you
Where's the news here, Sean?
Paolo Di Canio offered his services as an attacking coach last October and he was not taken up on his offer. Would you take him as an attacking coach?
No.
Nigel?
Yes.
Oh, you would? Now, the last story. And this story actually comes, Nigel asked me to ask this one. Because we've been, all three of us are members of the Supporters Club. And we've been wondering what's going on. So I've been asking, because there was rumours that we might be going back to the last drop, the podium bar, etc. But that contract was won by, I now know, a company called Peppermint Bars. And Peppermint Bars are the same company that run Winter Wonderland. Love it or hate it. And they
Never been.
They spent £1 million revamping the Orbit, the bar, the cafe, etc. It opened. I didn't go, but it apparently opened yesterday, Sunday. But the reality is that the Supporters Club are not going back there. They want to do their own thing. I can understand it. I've spent £1 million. Why would they? They've offered apparently the outdoor area, but not the indoor area exclusive, right? So that doesn't look like it's going to happen. But I did ask a source, well, what's going on? Will we get anything back this season? What he said was, they've agreed a sort of deal with, and they've said about this, the university. Which university is it? The arts one? Nigel?
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. If Len was here, he'd be able to say it. But the problem is, when they got their license, because they're a university, they didn't get a license at the weekends, only at the week. So they've got to get their weekend license from Newham before they're allowed to sell alcohol at a weekend. I don't know why that would stop them. And maybe it's outside normal hours as well, because I don't know. Does that mean they could have opened up on some of the nights? But I hear that there is hope that that license come through before the end of the season, and maybe the last few games could be hosted there, so that Sports Club will have a home again. Fingers crossed, Nigel.
Yes.
You're being diplomatic, aren't you? You asked me to ask this question. I asked the question, did I not?
I did. I told you, go up and ask him when you told me. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. There's your news.
All right.
You're not happy with that?
Well, listen. When they can, you know, when they finally get a place, you know. What do you want me to say, Sean? Do you want me to tell you what I said in the ground?
No, I don't want to say on there. No, let's be nice. Let's hope that he can get it. Look.
Should we say what the bloke said and my answer to him?
No.
Or should we not?
Let's not go there. Yeah, cool. Anywho.
As you passed on his message, and I gave you my reply.
He did. Anywho. I think that's all we have for this part of the show. Before Nigel does a solo. We better do predictions before John and myself say a farewell. So, Johnny boy, we have two games. Are you coming next Sunday, by the way?
Yes, I am, yeah.
All right. You're not coming Thursday, though.
No.
So, we've got a game on Thursday against Freiburg at 5:45. And I'm trying to remember who we're playing on Sunday.
Villa.
Is it Villa? Oh, that will be hard. And Villa at home. So, John, two games, two predictions.
Freiburg, we'll beat Freiburg 2-0 and go through.
Oof. And Villa?
Villa, we will lose 3-1.
Oof. Okay. Great. And you're coming to that.
Well, I've got to come to some of them.
Yeah, exactly. Did Mark go, by the way, on Sunday?
Yeah, he was there.
Did he use your ticket?
No.
Nigel?
Yes.
I assume you're going both Thursday and Sunday?
Yes, yeah.
Predictions, please?
Freiburg 3-1. We'll win.
Okay.
After extra time.
Ooh.
And Aston Villa. Cool, that's a tough one, isn't it?
It is.
West Ham's going to turn up. I think, actually, it'll probably be after the Lord Mayor's show and we'll lose 3-2, 3-0.
Oof. Okay. Well, I usually go for 1-0, but I'm going to go, because we need 2-0, I'm going to go 2-0 win, go through without extra time against Freiburg. Danny Ings with a brace. And then I'm going to go for 1-0
win. He won't get anywhere near it, will he?
go for 1-0 win against Villa. Again, it'll be a Danny Ings penalty that will win. We're hold fast, we defend. Just at the end, we get a penalty that will Danny Ings will send us through. And he'll be the hero of the week. There you go. Anywho, that's all we have. It's 56 minutes on the clock. Nigel's going to do... An evening with Nigel Kahn.
It's going to be hilarious. I've just looked.
Well,
so far there's 22 questions.
Yeah, and there'll probably be a lot more. And the only thing is, you can't go off at one at a tangent because you've got no one else to talk to.
No, that's true.
Except the listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Lucky lot.
You lucky, lucky people. Anyway, that's for episode 41. This is episode 40 done. It's a goodbye from me. It's a goodbye from Nigel.
I'm in my shed.
And it's a goodbye from Johnny Boy.
Wishing he had a bit of this, whatever you eat and drink, Sean, with some of your predictions.
What? Oh, nothing dear. Wrong with a little orange.
Come on, you've looked at him. Do you really want to eat what he eats?
No, you're right, actually.
Come on, you irons!
More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.